you know, the whole idea is basically impossible. That's what the engineers and physicists say when they look at it,
right,
to tune all these different notes out of one piece of steel. But once you get past that and realize that these guys did create something that was considered physically impossible and engineering-wise totally impractical,
mm-hmm,
each note is somewhat separated by from the others in the way the metal is shaped, and you tune it with a hammer, essentially changing the shape and stretching and loosening the metal in very specific ways. You know, each note is accurately tuned to a pitch, and you have two or three upper harmonics that are also tuned. And you do this all with a hammer and your ear and an electronic strobe.
Most people, I would imagine, when they see a steel drum orchestra for the first time, are just absolutely transfixed by it. Can you describe what that is? It's just a kind of an intoxicating feeling when you have everyone moving at the same time, grooving with the same groove, and just the style of music, almost the happiness of it, as well as just watching these people move together. It's just, it almost is a combination of music and dance.
Well, you pretty much described it for me. It really is a dance. First, it's orchestral music, but everyone's playing drums, percussion instruments. So it's melody, it's harmony, it's groove, it's rhythm, all at the same time. There are literally instruments like the bass instruments where you have to choreograph your movements. So you see a whole section of bass players who are doing all the same footwork and moving in a similar fashion in order to play the same lines. You know, it's just a very powerful experience. The steel band has changed a lot of people's whole view of what it means to play in an orchestra. They've taken the idea of the community orchestra of amateur musicians who come together and rehearse until they play at a world-class level to an extreme point. You know, that's quite really fascinating culturally and musically in every way.
Mm-hmm.
And just the sound, you know, and when you get near a big steel band and you can feel the music, you know, and you can feel how exciting that sound and how powerful it is. It's some of the most powerful acoustic music that's happening on the planet. And the bands can be anywhere from a small band of less than 10 to a big band of 130 players.
Mm.
Super powerful sound. When I first went to South Africa, it was an amazing experience for me because I really wasn't aware of the popularity of my music at that point. It was in 1999, and this had been going on since the 80s, where my records had made an impact over there and gotten played on radio and gotten kind of passed around in the townships and in the social clubs. And I actually had hits, and people, there was a large audience out there that knew my music and could recognize the songs as soon as we started them. Like, we played 2 seconds of a song and that I wrote, and the audience would erupt and they would sing. And my first concert in South Africa, there were about 70,000 people out there. It was a free show in Johannesburg, and I was headlining a festival, and I just couldn't believe it. I'd never experienced anything like that in my life, and probably never will again. So
yeah.
Once, it's kind of a little bit like that film Searching for Sugar Man, where the guy had no idea how popular he was. I don't know if he won the best documentary this year. It's about a guy whose music became popular in South Africa, and he had no idea. And it's interesting because the audience that was latched onto his music was almost pretty much the white South African audience that was not supportive of what was going on. It was protest music for them.
Right.
And my audience was just an entirely black audience, black African, that happened in the townships. And it's really you realize that the music is a message in a bottle, and you have no idea what's going to happen when it goes out there.